You know, it is absolutely amazing how God puts a service together, thinking about Hope's prayer, thinking about the song Rend the Heavens, thinking about the song where he's bringing newness. It's going to happen. And it's a joy to be back here today, and I have to admit it's a joy to see that precious couple back there who I've been looking at on camera. You didn't know that, but I was. But I'm sure somebody told you by now, Cheryl, but you have been in my illustration several times as known as famous. But it's just good to be back.
Can I share something?
Yeah. Do you need to use that microphone so they can hear you?
So I just wanted to share with you all that I can't tell you the number of times in the last 2 or 3, 4 days that Gary's looked at me and he goes, "I get to go to church on Sunday." Sunday. That's how much he loves you and has missed you and has missed just going to be with the people of God and just being in the house of God. And so, lest you think that he was just, you know, sitting at home eating bonbons. Well, I know you know what was going on with him, but still, I just want you to know how much he loves you. Whoops. How much he loves you and just adores being in this place. So.
Amen.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back. Although coming back, there's 12 pounds less than me. So, you know, I just love how God puts things together. I mean, here I go on sabbatical on what, June 1st. Real quickly, you know, I step on a screw, you know, because the hail damaged our back screened-in porch. So we don't have a screened-in porch anymore, folks, but we've got this new thing we created. Well, we created where all we're doing is writing checks out of our checkbook, but... Yeah, and so I'd stepped in a screw, and I had back issues for about 3 weeks, and then, you know, I had that widowmaker heart attack, and it's so, I'm so thankful for the prayers, and, you know, I just went to this testimony, like Jeannie said, she's out there, little Madeline, you know, Melissa's daughter, she prays for me every night. When she heard that I had a heart attack, she prayed for me every night. And when I saw her yesterday at the wedding, I told her, I says, "I'm one of the 6% because of you." Now, 94% apparently that have what I had don't, you know, get to go be with Jesus. But he's not done with me yet. And I'm glad because I'm not ready to leave you guys. And but then, you know, as you know, the hospital decided to give me a gift when I left and give me C. diff. And if you don't know what that is, I pray you never know what that is. And then I was told the other day that I need to have cataract surgery in October for both eyes, but I may lose these, which would be fun. Dan, you're so fuzzy. But I can tell it was still Dan. Yeah. You know, there is something to be said there, but I'm not going to go down that path. Anyway, so... And then a tick decided that he wanted some of my blood. So Terry said to me, "You need to come back to church so you can be healed."
And safe.
And here I am. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're doing what you're doing. Thank you for the prayers that have been prayed, the words, the testimony, the songs, because they all point to what you're going to do. I'm convinced of it in Jesus' name. Well, in spite of all of it, I did spend time with God. And he and I had some amazing conversations, which I'm going to try and unpack over the next 2 or 3 weeks. That it wasn't just pain, but there was a lot of joy and a lot of promises. Some of them were for me personally. And I may share some of those over time, but some of them were for us. But even the ones that were for me probably will end up impacting us to whatever degree. But in the midst of all of it, I always had this amazing sense of God's closeness to us. This amazing sense that He is preparing us for this outpouring. Now let me give you kind of if you give me the license to say this, prophetic overview of some of the stuff that went down while spending time with the Lord. And I want to just kind of preface it by saying something up front that, and I'm going to go through it a little more detail, that He said to me many times, 5 statements. And every time He said it to me, it came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. I was reading or doing something and it just hit me. And Chris heard it a number of times because I would just keep saying it to him. But what He said to me was, it's coming. Don't force it. Don't define it. But pursue Him. And let Him do it. It's coming. It can't be stopped. Don't force it. Don't define it. Because here's the truth. If any of us try to define it, it's going to be a whole lot smaller than what He has in mind. Because we're working out of humanness. He's working out of godness. But in the midst of it, while we're waiting for Him, and I hope it hits today or tomorrow and not too far down the road or whenever, but let God do it as we pursue Him. You know, it has to be significant if He kept telling me over and over. And always out of the blue. It wasn't like something I just kind of tried to make up. So, let's break it down a bit. Oh, and just a little thing here. I've gotten stuff, emails and texts or whatever. We are working on a camera system, which will make this a lot better. Because some people have said, you know, I'd like to see the whole worship team. And you know, especially want to see the violin player. I don't know why. I'm back, Frank.
All right, I'll leave.
No, you can't. It's not allowed. So let's break this down a little bit. Not a lot, but we'll break it down probably more in the future. It's coming. Whatever it is, it's coming. You can take it to the bank. See, everywhere, if you're paying any attention everywhere, people are prophesying about a move of God. And it's amazing because as you listen to this prophetic person or that prophetic person or this person, there's a lot of similarities. So obviously it's a coincidence and they've all been on the phone to each other, talking to each other so they can get it right what they're going to all say. Not. No. There's this sense. You just talk to believers, people who love Jesus, and there's just this sense that something's stirring. That there's excitement that's starting to boil up. It's like Terry was saying up front, that when we gather together, there's this awesome presence of the Lord. And it's growing. But I don't believe God wants us to be focused on what's coming. I think He wants us to be focused on preparing for its arrival. At least that's what He said to me. The second, don't force it. Who here besides me wants to help God do what God wants to do? Which is good. The problem is, we have to follow along as He leads us to help God to do what God wants to do. But I like to go out and say, Lord, why don't you just sit down and take a break? I'll take over from here. And it goes downhill, right? If we did that, maybe it wouldn't be as powerful. Just saying. No offense to anybody. Maybe it wouldn't be as effective. Because he's still preparing us. Each and every one of us. He's putting things in place in our hearts and our minds for its revival. He's taking these things, these gifts that he's put within us that are so important for it. Everybody. So those are being honed, refined. Building relationships. Drawing us closer together, making us like a fine machine. You know, I envy people like Terry who can look at a car engine and in his mind he can see all the different parts that are in there, which I can't even begin to name, and know how they're working together to produce this power. Well, what is coming? God is causing us to come together in relationship, in greater relationship, and calling us to walk in this as part of this fine engine that he's developing, because every part is needed for the power that's being played out. Don't define it, number three. I'm not saying we can't have some ideas. I'm not saying we can't pray into it. I'm not saying that at all. Remember how we looked at Acts 2:42 last year? And it's a New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. You know, toward the end of the year last year, in November and December, I believe it was. That plays into it. When you start having a sense that God is stirring, that God wants to draw you more and more into his presence, then you jump into the Word of God because you want to know him. You start praying simple prayers. God, what are you doing? How are you going to use me? What can I do? Prepare me. Fellowship, relationships, building each other, speaking into each other's lives. You remember the father and mother teachings that came at the first part of this year. Those were ordained by God. And then Lord's Supper, which we're going to participate in here at the end. Don't worry, we got a special way to do it this morning, so you weren't ignored. Well, you were. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody, a couple people are going, Gary, can you go back on sabbatical now? But trusting God. See, he's building that in us. Because when this hits, he's going to trust us to carry it out. The fruit that comes, as we see later in Acts 2:43 and 44, 45, and throughout Acts. It may very well look similar to some of the fruit in Acts. I think personally that it will. But it's not going to look exactly like that. I think he's got something else up his sleeve too. A newness. That's why he doesn't want us to define it. Or force it. So our call is to pursue him. That's our call. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. To prepare ourselves. To do what he asks us each day to do. You know, I find it interesting that when people think sometimes about what God has for them to do, they think of this, they got to go do something way out of their comfort zone. You know, go knock on the doors or something, or do whatever, stand outside of Walmart and hand out tracts. Well, if God calls you to do that, go do that. But it usually is what he has already prepared you to do, that it just flows through you and you do what God has called you to do. It was interesting while I was in the hospital, okay, for the heart attack. I just got to let people know that I'm a pastor and I love the Lord and God wasn't done with me yet. And they started calling me a miracle child. Now, these are people that aren't really believers, that probably don't believe in miracles, or may not. But just be you. That's all it is. It's just be you. Yeah, he's going to lead you out of your comfort zone from time to time. At least he finds great fondness in doing that to me. But just continue to prepare ourselves by honing the gifts that are already within you, by opening yourself up to more of him, doing the things day by day. He asked me this question. He asked it to me several times. Gary, do you want me, or do you want what I have to give you? Do you want relationship with him more than anything else? Do you want relationship with me more than anything else? If I never give you anything else, would you be satisfied with just this amazing relationship with me that would grow day by day? Or do you want the stuff more? I thought about it. I rolled it over and over in my mind. I prayed into it. And as I was doing that, God reminded me of a visitation I had in the hospital when I had the surgery on my gut. Remember how I was in pain? All of a sudden, there was no pain, and the room was white. And he visited me with this scripture out of Matthew 13, 44 and 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. And then he asked me, are you willing to do that for a relationship with me? For the relationship I have for you? What do you say? No? Can I think about it for a little while, God? I said yes, and I was back in pain. The room was dark. It was an amazing thing. But I answered, more than anything, Lord, I want you. And then I said, but I'll take your blessings too. Every one of us will take his blessings, his fruit. Ask God if you need to ask the same question. I remember, and Vicki and Cheryl remember this too, when we went through two particular moves of God in Colombia. I really can't remember when you guys showed up or when you left, but I know you were there at the very beginning, weren't you? Okay, and then they decided they loved Iberia more than they did. But they lived across the subdivision from me. They lived in the first house on the right when you came in one entrance, and I lived in the second house on the left when we came in the other entrance. But both of the moves were preceded by prayer, people just wanting him. Remember the great revivals I looked through on May 31st when we read through all those? There were always people going, God, I want more of you. I want to see you. Kind of like Hope's prayer, which was a beautiful prayer. They wanted more of him, but they got the stuff too. As I prayed about this place, the Lord showed me we're doing well. We don't need to go, God, I'm not doing well enough. We're not praying enough. We're doing well. Not saying we're perfect. Not saying we shouldn't walk down that path of sanctification more and become more and more who we are called to be. There's people praying. There's groups of people getting together and praying. I'm not saying there's not room for more prayer, because there's always room for more prayer. But it's coming. So keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep drawing closer to God. Keep desiring a greater relationship with him and each other. And then the last is, and then let God do it. Whatever it is, let him define it. It'll be better than us defining it. Let him bring it. It'll be better than whatever we try to force. both of the moves of God that I've experienced in my life came out of nowhere. Totally unexpected. Especially the second one when C.J. Mahaney was preaching and people started falling on the floor laughing. I think he got a little upset. Were you there? Were you guys there that night? Remember, Terry Virgo kept having to go up and saying, it's okay. And finally, Terry Virgo took over, and C.J. never got to talk about the saddest man in the Bible, which is Solomon. But what happened in the midst of it, the stuff, the fruit, people's relationship with God exploded. And yeah, we enjoyed the salvations that came, the healings, the deliverance, the relationships that grew. But prior, the people were pursuing him. They wanted more of him. Then God did it his way. Totally unexpected, at least by me and the people I knew. And again, as the revivals we talked about on May 31st. So do we want it our way or do we want it God's way? I think I know the answer to that question. In our heart of hearts, we want it God's ways. It's much, much better. See, God has a plan. He has a plan for the future. But guess what? He has a plan for now. And our call is to tap into that plan, now plan, and trust him with the future plan. Because the now plan is going to delve right in to the future plan. To do what he also told me several times. That is to be diligent and faithful to walk out what he has placed before each of us, each and every day. To do what he has spoken to us to do. And for different people, it's going to be different, but he's going to bring it all together. God wants us to be the church, which, you know, the church is the people, it's not this building, that he's called us to be, that he literally created us to be. And what it requires, and we'll get into this over the next couple of weeks a little more, because he talked a lot to me about it, it requires humility and submission to God. I know I can look at each person here, and I know, and even looking out there, I'd respond to the comments, but I can't see that well. But after cataract surgery, I'll be able to read that little stuff there. Unless God heals me beforehand, which I'll take. One thing I know, all of us want more of him. I think when Hope prayed the prayer she prayed during worship, she was praying for all of us. See, during my sabbatical, even in the midst of everything that went on, the Lord and I had some amazing times. We just did, and I was refreshed. Even with the 12 pounds I've lost, I feel leaner and meaner. I feel great. See, there were times where he talked to me and gave me promises about the future, and he talked to me about the future, and we'll unpack some of those as we go along. Because it is a glorious future. The question each one of us have to ask, do we really want him? I've already answered it for us, because I do believe in those who aren't here, those who are out there. That's why I know we're going to pursue him. I know we're going to attempt to draw closer to him. I know there's a hunger that is being raised up. God gave me pictures of different people and the hunger that he was placing in each person for more and more of him. And I believe the blessings will come. Some of them might be a little strange. But the greatest is going to be this amazing new relationship, this amazing relationship that's going to grow in with Him. I know He hears our prayers. I know that we are loved. Each and every one of us. Can you just play along with me here and say out loud, God loves me? God loves me. Once more, God loves me. It's true. He does. He went to the cross for each one of us. If there was nobody else on planet Earth but you, He still would have gone to the cross. We need to grasp that vision. We need to understand that. And then He asked me another question, which I pass on to you. What is more important, Gary? Success in the world or significance in the kingdom? I want significance in the kingdom because that's greater success. That's greater success than having millions of dollars in a bank account. Now, if God wants to bless you with $1 million, that's fine. I tell God all the time that if I win the lottery, that I'm going to divide it up and make all my friends millionaires. Problem is, I don't play the lottery. But you never know what God's going to do. There was, you know, the Mass, who on the 11th of September, we'll say more about that later, they're going to be over at Antioch, so I invite everybody to go over. That's a Saturday. But they prophesied to a Gary Behrens, Behrens, one night, and I wasn't even listening to him. I just got this text out of nowhere from Pat and Kate saying, that was a wonderful prophecy. And I said, what prophecy? So who knows what God will do? You don't have to necessarily be in one place or another. He's just going to do some amazing things. We just need to be aware of what is happening around us. Tune in the Holy Spirit. And follow Him and be used by Him to infuse the gospel into the world around us. If we really want to make a difference in this world, then we must respond to the Holy Spirit's voice and follow Him and do the things that He's called to us. All the while, allowing our loving God to pour through us. See, everyone you interact with, there's two things you need to remember. And there's people out there doing crazy things right now that need to know these two things. Everyone was created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. I looked at several Bibles. It doesn't say just believers. It says all. How do you define all? All. And the second thing comes out of Psalm 139:14, that we were all fearfully and wonderfully made by Him. People today need to know that. See, as we grow in that and walk in that and the things I've talked about, but those two things in particular, I guarantee that out of your heart will flow love to the people around about you. Yes, we're all different. We're all different. There's no two people in here exactly alike. That just shows you how big and how diverse God is. And yet we were all created in His image. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. It's amazing to me. That's why we need each other. That's why we all need to be walking forth in our gifts. See, our goal has to be walk out our lives and interact with people out of love and in humility. And in every relationship we have, we must love, 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 love while shining forth the light of Christ in all humility. There's that word again. We can, because as his children, we know his voice and we hear his voice. It says in his words that it is so. So let me wind this down with something that God gave me. You can call it a prophetic word. You can call it whatever you want. Maybe I ate too much garlic or something. But he told me to share this with you, with all of you. You are all valuable. Not just one or most, but all. Yet so many have a hard time hearing that and receiving it about who I created you to be. But understand something. This does not lead to pride or arrogance. And if it does, then it's not him. But it is I, the Lord God, that has created you and given you all you have. Blessings, gifts, and possessions. Instead, walk in humility, always remembering where your value comes from. Your value comes from me, for I have defined it and created you in my image. You are most valuable and most loved because I have declared it and because I have established it and because I have chosen you, each and every person. That's powerful. That's worth getting up and doing a little jig over. So let's go forth in a lifestyle of pursuing God in the midst of everything we're doing, whether we're at work or driving a car down the road or taking a walk and walking our dog or strangling our cat. No, I didn't say that. Anybody here has cats? Oh, I'm sorry. I repent. Through prayer, through worship, through fellowship, through his word. And let us take communion with the understandings we're going to do here in a few moments, knowing and understanding a couple things, that God is God, that he is our salvation, and we are his people. And the second thing, he is the Almighty. And what's that mean? He has his hand on and in everything. He is not only sovereign, he is the sovereign. Amen? So, just playing by your ear. Let's take communion and then we'll close the song after that. Somebody.